Welcome to Mecha Do About Nothing, the only mecha podcast that's never seen mecha anime before. I'm your host, Ian Gregory.
And I'm your host, Anna Bloomfield.
This week, as I mentioned during our one-year anniversary episode, there will be times where Dan is busy with his big move, so this is the first, recording-wise, of our bonus episodes that will have absolutely nothing to do with Danforth yet.
And everything to do with me.
Or just the one, because the other ones you're not in.
Okay, well...
But the first of our guest hosts, special guest hosts, is Anna Bloomfield, my girlfriend.
Why, hello. I am the girlfriend.
You may remember her from such episodes as Full Metal Panic 1 and Mobile Suit Gundam 4. I think those are exactly the two times I've mentioned you on the podcast.
Well done.
In the Full Metal Panic episode, we had a whole section devoted to your takes on the first, like, six episodes of that show.
Yeah, what listeners may not know is when we were watching that, I was laid out with food poisoning, and so I couldn't move, so we watched...
So I held you hostage with Full Metal Panic.
I loved it. I love bad movies. I honestly kind of wanted to finish it, and you wouldn't let me. You were no.
I couldn't finish it all in, like, 2 days, watch 10 episodes of Full Metal Panic. It wasn't gonna happen.
Oh, I was so ready.
It was like drip torture. Like,
I was so sick. I was so woozy. I hadn't eaten anything. I could barely keep down water, and I was like, Full Metal Panic, none of this makes sense.
I wasn't doing anything to help your recovery. So what we've decided to do is we're going to watch the first episodes of three series we've covered on this show: Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Neon Genesis Evangelion, and SSSS Gridman. This is to give, I wanted to get like a big range of shows, from like the oldest classic Real Robot to Evangelion, which is just like at this point a meme, and then Gridman, which is a super robot show and really a good one to end on because it's fun and new. All these shows came out around 20 years apart. So 1979, 1996, 2018. So we've got a good mix here.
So Gridman is the most recent one.
Gridman.
The only thing I know about Gridman is that I think on your episode... Where you did one on about.
We did Gridman. A couple on Gridman.
Yeah, there's a sound bite where Dan is going, yeah, give me them Gridman honeys.
Dan, yeah.
That's the only thing I mean, I know
you'll get
about
to see
it.
The Gridman honeys firsthand in a moment.
I'm excited.
So why don't you talk a little bit first about what anime and manga background you have to begin with, because you haven't really seen mech before.
I haven't seen mech. I do love anime. I think my top four are, in no particular order, Hinamatsuri, which I love, Grand Blue, Sailor Moon, obviously, because it fucking slaps. And Kaguya.
Love is War.
Yeah. Which is also one of my top played songs on Spotify.
Is the Love is War opening.
Yeah. I've also just started watching Ao-chan Can't Study, which is, I don't think you've seen that one. I keep telling you to watch it.
No, you sent me Snapchats of it.
It's pretty wild.
You'll have discovered that I no longer watch anime for pleasure anymore.
I know, it's sad. I'll be like, oh, like, do you want to watch, because I don't think we ever finished Hinamatsuri together.
No.
So, but then anytime I'm like, oh, like, let's watch some Sailor Moon, let's watch, you know, whatever. And you're like, I don't think I can.
I'm a professional anime fan now, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
That sounds bad. So you do have experience with this. So
I
you're not going anime blind. And so what we've done, the way we're structuring this, is we're going to watch one episode, do a recording, break, watch an episode, do a recording. And so we'll get sort of live reactions right afterwards. So we've already just watched Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, the very first episode. Of course, the first show we did on the podcast, the first Gundam show.
Yeah. Sorry. I just realized that 0079 is also the
year. The year it came out. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's what it's there for.
Oh, no.
So, what are your first impressions on Mobile Suit Gundam?
Oh, man. Okay. Man, what are my first impressions? I feel like I understand you better. I feel like I know you better. We've been together for a few years, and I feel like I'm finally, like, seeing into the depths of your soul. I thought it was really good. I'm interested to see how it progresses. I also just really like the art direction. It's so 70s. It is so disco, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Loved that. I have a lot of thoughts about some of the characters, which we can get into, and also, I liked it. It's really, really 70s.
Is it what you expected? Did you have any expectations for what the show was going to be like?
So I have watched exactly one half of an episode, like, a year ago, where it was the one where, spoilers, Lala dies.
That is probably the least spoilery spoiler in all of
Okay,
Gundam.
Well, I don't know. I don't
Dan
want
and I make a lot of
jokes
about how every show after 0079 is predicated on Lala's death. Like, so it's really not, like...
But that's the one I remember, like, you were watching it. I think we were... at your old apartment, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, do you want to watch the rest of this? This is like one of my favorite shows. And I was like, sure. And then I kept making comments that there were space Nazis and I guess just hella space Nazis. And then Lala died and I kept screaming, wait a minute. And you just kept like hitting my arm going, yeah, yeah, man, yeah.
That's probably one of the weirdest possible episodes to watch because there's an extended dream sequence in that episode, yeah, which is not very... Would you have thought, having now seen the first episode of the show, that that's the direction it goes in?
No, and I kind of want to see where, like, it not
goes
up.
How it gets there?
Yeah, because, like, I don't remember it that well, but it's, like, something happens, Char is there, Lala fucking dies, and then there's, like, that song where it's, like, and it just, like, flashes in and out, and I was just sitting there, like, what the fuck is happening?
So let's talk about characters.
Okay.
We've only got... We meet a lot of the characters who become really important, but they only really spend much time with three of them. So that's what we're going to focus on. Why don't we talk about the goon in chief, Amuro Ray?
Oh, man. I mean,
what was your first... The moment he showed up, you started writing something down. What was your first impression of Amuro Ray? Because it's when Frau Bo is coming in and he's just like in his underwear working on a computer.
I wrote great hair. He's got great hair. He's got some really good fashion sense. Good for him. I like the... He's wearing denim on denim, which is
a choice.
It's a strong move.
Yeah.
We should be afraid of this man. His power. Like, most of this episode is just people screaming, Amuro! Amuro!
Oh, that's
Amuro,
most of Gundam, yeah.
Amuro! Like, that's the majority. If I had to sum up this episode in, like, three words, it'd be like, Amuro! Amuro! And then, like, pink.
And then pink.
And then pink. Everything in this episode is pink. The smoke is pink. The guns are pink. Everything's pink.
I don't think there are any pink guns, but the eyes of the mechs are all pink.
No, not the mobile suits. The bullets are pink.
Oh, yeah. The bullets are pink, which is kind of a strange choice. You thought the Vulcan bullets were lasers, which, like, yeah.
They make the pew-pew-pew sound.
The pew-pew-pew.
Yeah, that's how they... That's the professional term for it. They make the pew-pew-pews.
It's Foley. That's Foley, yeah. So that's Amuro. Were you interested in him as a main character? Did he strike you as, like, whiny or just whatever?
He was very, like, meh. Mm-hmm. Like, he's there, and I can tell he's important because he's wearing denim on denim. But, like, I was actually much more interested in Char.
Also, again, the reaction of everyone who has ever seen Mobile Suit Gundam is to go, I was more interested in Char Aznable.
So the first two things that I wrote down when Char came on the scene was, so the shape of his helmet looks like the shape of
Darth helmet
in Spaceballs, so I couldn't take him seriously. But then also, if you've ever seen a Harry Potter musical... He seems like the woman who plays
Draco Malfoy,
and she's always like rolling on the ground going, my father. And he was dressed like a dandy. He was so flamboyant, and he had this like crazy ass helmet with this nonsense ass cape. And we already know from Edna Mode that you should not be wearing capes if you're flying. I was intrigued.
I'm thrilled by your reaction of it cutting to the Murasai where Char is and just going, whoa! And I was like, yeah, that's the right response.
Yeah, and you asked me what my response was, and I just said, whoa! Like, that's all I could say, honestly.
He's such a character. Oh, man.
He's such a character.
He's the most character-designed character in Gundam.
Yeah, everyone else is like, this might as well be like...
They're kind of normal-looking people, right?
Yeah, I mean... Honestly, like, 0079 might as well be called, like, Pretty Boy Char and everyone else.
And then lastly, our third character who we sort of see, actually briefly, Haro. You had a great reaction to Haro,
oh,
which
I
was just
fucking love Haro.
I want one.
I want one so bad. So cute. They are adorable. That little moment where, like, the little legs pop out and he's like, pa, 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 and he's, like, running up the stairs.
Yeah,
I was
it's
like,
cute.
Yeah, I want one.
And then our third character here is Frau Bo, who, one... Great response to Slender Denim Jean and Frau Bo's names.
Oh, motherfucker.
But what did you think of Frau? Did she have a character, or?
Her entire character was, Amuro, no. Amuro, we need to go. Amuro. Amuro. And I was like, girl, you are an independent person. Like, do anything other than just say his name over and over again.
And what do you think about the amount of death? Specifically because we watched Frau Bo's mother die in front
of
her.
Yeah, so that big battle scene when, like, the... people are trying to escape, and then there's like the big mech, you know, thing.
Explosion.
And yeah, I started keeping track of the amount of times I said, oh fuck, over 15.
Yeah.
Within like an 8 minute time frame. I just kept saying, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
Well, it's, I feel like when you're watching a show like this, and please remember, Mobile Suit Gundam's target audience was children.
What?
Yeah, you don't, that was how it was pitched to the toy companies, because that's how they had to get sponsored. Is you're like, we're going to make a robot show, and there's going to be robots, and we'll sell them to children. They're like, great. And then Tomino, the director, is like, and everyone's going to die. It was like he tricked them essentially into funding him. So it's for kids. This aired at a children-friendly time spot. There's a lot of very explicit on-scene death in the first episode for that, isn't there?
Yeah. Wow. Oh God. Oh no.
Were you expecting like actual death? Because that was one of the things that stuck out to me about this show is that when you watch a kids' show, especially a robot show, you're like, oh, he's knocked out, or you don't see people die. And this, it's like fairly explicit. They're in their corpses.
Yeah, I mean, so this is not a good comparison, but in Sailor Moon, when someone dies, there's like, it's very soft, and if it's basically, you know, well, basically the demons from like the dark dimension, not what they're called, but just for...
It's good enough.
They like fade, and it like fades out, and everything's in pastel, and it's very like...
So's Gundam.
No! And then they fade, and then there's like one pretty major death where one of like the major henchmen falls in love with one of Sailor Moon's friends, and he's like a man and she's in middle school. I have a lot of thoughts about that episode. Some nonsense, but it's like a very beautiful death scene, and then after he dies, you know, you never see a corpse, like the body just dissolves because they were like, nah, we're not gonna make you sit through that. This most of the oh fucks came from when that moment where
her mother dies.
Yeah, where like she's running, and then all of a sudden there's, because when the explosion happened, I think I just assumed that like there would be just fire, like you wouldn't see the corpses, but the creators were like, no, let's put some real carnage in here. Yeah. Let's really make everyone suffer. Like, that was a lot. That's where like at least 3 to 5 of my oh fucks came
from. It's, that's a brutal scene for a first episode to have, I feel like. Let's talk about the setting here, and I want you to please describe to me, as best as your knowledge, based on this first episode only, what is the main overall setting of Mobile Suit Gundam?
Space.
Right. But, like, who's fighting who? Why is it happening? Do you have any idea about any of that?
It's some dumbass white boys. I don't know. I mean, not white boys. I shouldn't say that, because they're not white. But, like, they're in space. It's, like, the Earth people versus the other people.
Do you know their name?
The Zeons?
Yeah.
I kept calling them Xenon, which is a Disney Channel movie. I don't know if you know that.
No.
Yeah, so Xenon, 21st Century Girl, watch it. It's an amazing movie. Anyway. Yeah, so I kind of got that. I had to keep asking you. I was also like, I love sub. I prefer sub, but that's kind of the problem when you're like watching
and taking notes.
Yeah, because then like I would look away for like 2 seconds just to like write a note down, like Haro with a little heart next to it, and then I'd look up and I would have missed like, I don't know, 20 seconds of like important dialogue about,
I hope it didn't take you 20 seconds to write down Haro heart,
you know, I don't need your sass. It did not, but okay. I kind of get it.
So I was always sort of wondered when we were doing the podcast last year, is like, how much of this is graspable to someone who doesn't already know? So was the opening crawl, like, the year is this? Was any of that, did any of that stick? Or do you think like, they didn't need it or what?
No, I mean, I thought that the opening crawl was really good. I got the sense of things. There were just a few details that I wanted more detail on.
Sure.
Like, I mean, I get it. There's, like, this crazy huge war between, like, Earth and these other people. And then all these humans in the universe have died because of some nonsense. So that all made sense. I thought the opening crawl was good. I was really taken by the color palette of the show, because I think in space very often people want to go with really cold, not cold, but like cooler palettes with mostly, you know, blues and light greens and
whites.
Yeah, and they kind of keep it with that space palette. But I really, really liked that the show, I don't know if it did something different for its time, maybe, like, I don't know if other shows during that time mostly also had like kind of pastel color palettes, but I thought that it was really striking, and I also thought that it made a lot of the details shine through a lot more. So like on the spaceships, they weren't just like black and gray, they were like green and pink, and then they had like, and the lights were different colors, and so when it flew by you could really get a sense of the size of everything, and you know, all the details of the ship, you could really understand kind of the scope of how insane this ship was. So I thought that was a really, really smart choice. But also, I mean, I don't know, I haven't watched a ton of shows from that time era, so I don't know if it was just like a common thing for all the shows in what, the 70s, you said?
1979.
Yeah, so yeah, 70s, 80s. I don't know if that was just like a kind of a staple of that time period where everyone was like, yeah, fuck this. Let's put everything in like bright pink and orange and purple.
Mm-hmm.
And which I'm into. But
was like the old animation style a turnoff to you, or was it easy to understand?
No, I really like old animation style. One of my favorite movies is The Castle of Cagliostro, mm-hmm. Which was Hayao Miyazaki's like first, like kind of his director debut.
Yeah.
I thought,
and that's late 70s, I think.
Yeah, I think it's 1979 as well, actually, but okay. I'm not positive. But no, I thought the animation style was really good for its time. You can definitely tell where a lot of the, how do I say this? I think that I've started noticing that there are certain tells in anime, depending on, which will kind of tell you like what time era that they're from. So like one of the things that I've noticed about like late 70s, early 80s anime is that the way that they do hand movements is very specific. And there's, mm-hmm. there are times where you can't even see like the individual fingers. You'll just see like crosshatching that's supposed to like give the
impression of a finger.
Yeah, exactly. And so I thought, but I mean, I don't mind it. I think it's cool. And I think it's also really fun to watch that show. And I'm excited to watch some of the other shows that you have lined up for me.
Yeah.
So we can kind of see like how animation has progressed and how it's become this incredibly detailed, beautiful thing.
So last thing we're going to talk about here is our own little mini mech corner. We basically see two real mobile suits that are worth talking about. That's what they're called in Gundam.
Yeah.
So we see the Zaku 2, which are the big green guys from Zeon. And we see, of course, the Gundam.
Yeah, when
RX-782.
Yeah, when RX came on screen, I loudly said, oh, okay.
During the opening.
Yeah. Because I think you have a model of that one.
I actually have an unbuilt model of it. But yeah. I have other Gundams, and all Gundams are essentially inspired by that Gundam.
Yeah, I should also say that yesterday I was watching Anime Crimes Division by Crunchyroll, and they, a big plot point, I don't want to give spoilers, because if you haven't watched it, you should. It's so funny and it's so well done. But a major plot point in the first season are models of these Gundam, and that's like, and RX is a really prominent model that they have to solve a case around. So I was like, oh, okay, that's where it's from. I really liked the design. It's also very obvious, like, who are the good, like, who are the important Gundams and who are, like, the basic asses. Because, mm-hmm. like, the green ones are really cool, and I like that they had, like, the, you know, again, there was, like, pink kind of...
The mono eye is pink, yeah.
Yeah, there were kind of pink details. I thought that was really fun. And then this other one comes out, and he's just so much better.
Yeah.
He's so much cooler. I, in my head, I was, I labeled him as, you versus the guy she tells you not to worry about.
Mm-hmm. It really is like the Zaku, and then the Gundam shows up, and you're just like,
oh yeah,
that's the hero suit.
Oh mm-hmm. yeah, that's the one that I want.
Yeah,
I loved it. I thought it was really cool. That was honestly one of my favorite parts of the show, was just like the Gundam design. I thought that was really,
and they put a lot of emphasis on the Gundam standing up, and like yeah. here it is now, the first full shot, and you're like, oh
yeah. In the opening theme song, there was a moment where, like, the legs are really well done. Like, they're really muscled, and they're very shapely. And I think it was RX. It might have been a different one. But
There's only one Gundam in this show.
Oh,
it's
well.
It's the Gundam.
Oh. Okay, well, it's the first. Okay, well, when RX, in the kind of the opening sequence.
All right, I'm gonna explain RX. So RX-782 is the model number.
Okay.
It's the RX-782, or the Gundam RX-782.
Okay.
So when you say RX, that's actually like all Gundams.
Okay.
782 is this particular model, but you can also just call it the Gundam. People call it the Granddaddy Gundam because it's the first one.
The Big Daddy.
Yeah, that's what this is. This is the original.
The Big Daddy. Okay.
Ew. It's the children's podcast.
Is it?
It's not.
It's so not.
Okay, so that's 0079. Next, we're going to take the computer, go in the other room. We're going to watch Neon Genesis Evangelion, episode 1. And as tempting as it is to show you, like, the next episode as well, I think we're going to stick to this first episode.
Okay.
And we'll be right back in a moment with more. And we're back. We've just watched Neon Genesis Evangelion, episode 01, unit 01, episode 1. That's... and we're going to do another round of our first episode discussion.
Yeah, I love this. I love this so much more. I'm sorry. This is my favorite.
I'm not going to be personally insulted if you like Evangelion more than you like 0079, which is not even the best Gundam show.
Well, this one slaps. This one fucking slaps. I love this.
So far in this episode, you've said both Sailor Moon and Evangelion slap, which I feel like are two fairly different properties.
They can be different, but they both slap. Okay, so first impressions.
Yes.
Fucking loved it. One of the first things I noticed is that in 0079, during the fight sequences, there are a lot of pauses. That was all hand-drawn animation. It was still pretty...
Well, so is this.
This is this?
This is hand-drawn.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, this one's just better. Mind you, it's like 10 to 20 years later. Yeah. Oh, it is 20 years later.
Like 18-ish, yeah.
Yeah, so... But in the fight sequences for this one, there weren't pauses. It was a lot cleaner. It was a lot faster. So I thought it flowed a lot better. I loved it. Where are my notes?
On a whole, this is a very pretty show.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I really like it.
There's a lot more detail. There's a lot of, like, the color detailing is really good. The coloring, the light plays off each other really well.
Mm-hmm.
There is just a lot of detail you couldn't expect from a show from 1979. It's not fair to be like,
yeah, this show's fair.
So much prettier. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I loved it. So talk about some characters. So Masato.
You want to start with Masato?
I want to start with Masato.
Yeah.
I like her. She's weird. She's like super weird. I want to know her backstory. Like, for example, why is she sending a postcard to a, 16-year-old boy with an arrow pointing to her boobs? I'd like to know about that. But she seems cool. And she also seems like she's the only person in this show that actually cares about Shinji.
Right. Well, she's deeply irresponsible as far as adults go, which is hilarious. And yet, it's played for laughs.
And yet she is still the most responsible adult.
Yeah. Well, I think they would argue that they're the responsible ones because they're thinking about the future of Earth.
They can suck a dick. So then Shinji. I found him a lot more compelling as a main character. I also thought it was interesting that when, like, the first line he said, let me rephrase that. The first time he opened his mouth in the show, I said, oh, he's a kid. And to which you said, well, the last episode, you know, he was a kid too, but this one is actually voiced by, like, a younger man. So
I think Shinji, I don't know if Shinji's voiced by a woman or not.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. He might also just be voiced by a woman who's playing a younger guy. I found him a lot more compelling than the main character. I liked his backstory. I like how both of the main characters seem to have some daddy issues.
Yeah, Shinji is voiced by a woman. The same voice actress who did Yami Yugi from Yu-Gi-Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so that's that's character diversity.
The circle of life. Well, I liked Shinji. I like how all of these main characters, once again, have daddy issues. I think I already said that, but I'm going to say it again.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to his daddy, who's an asshole. I hate him so much.
Gendo Ikari.
Gendo
makes a terrible first impression, which is that, like, Misato is like, hey, do you know what your dad does? And they cut to his dad, and they're like, he's like, don't worry, I'm having a spare delivered. And it cuts back to Shinji, and you're like, oh boy.
Motherfucker, you call your son a spare? Are you kidding?
Of all the things Gendo does in this show, this is, like, the least reprehensible, so.
Oh, no.
He's just a bad dad. He's, like, anime worst father of the year award with, like, him and Shao Tucker.
That's saying something.
So those are, like, the three main characters we see here. We also see Ritsuko for a bit. Inexplicably, like, going for a dive, which is not something I think that ever happens again in Evangelion or is ever explained. She was just, like, swimming around with the Eva, so...
Was that the blonde lady?
Yeah.
Yo, there's some tension between her and Masato. I don't know if you noticed it. I think that you laughed when I said, oh, they fucking...
The problem is I've seen this show twice, so...
There's no surprises for you, but there was... And I mean, I thought that they... I didn't realize that, like, that was her commanding officer. So I was like,
not
okay,
really,
well,
actually.
Oh, no?
Ritsuko's a scientist, and Masato is in the military.
Well, then I confirm they are totally banging. There is some sexual... Don't look at me like that. Mm-hmm. You guys can't see it, but Ian has this really smug look on his face.
It's just because I know the plot behind these characters. So what do you think about the way these characters look? Because I think something that Gundam and Evangelion do have similar is that their characters still look fairly human.
Yeah.
They're not, like, mega anime characters.
Yeah, with a, like, oh gosh, what's the word when they have, like, crazy big eyes, and that's always, like, what the main...
You're probably thinking of Moe, but...
Yeah, no, they are really beautifully done. Again, I really like the color palette. It was more primary colors, which I was very into. I thought that the art design was really amazing. You can really tell that the 20-year difference in just like the art style and how far they've gone. I really, really liked it. The visual style was really beautiful, but also you made a good point that it's also very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked it. I thought that the setting, it was in Tokyo, I believe.
2015.
Oh, goodness. We've already been destroyed by the angels.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because they don't really tell you why Tokyo gets to be the way it is. But yeah, you draw this assumption that it's an angel. I'll tell you now that actually that's the first angel that's shown up in 15 years.
Mm.
So something else has happened that is interesting.
Oh, well, I'm invested.
So it's good to hear this perspective, because there is like a good deal of misdirection happening in this first episode.
Yeah, there's a lot more complexity to this plot that I'm very into.
Yeah, it's true that 0079 sets up like it's the Zeon, they're fighting the Federation. It's bad. And then this is sort of doesn't give you that opening crawl to tell you what's going mm-hmm. on. So it leaves you to pick up a lot of pieces that may or may not be accurate.
Well, that's also very common in a lot of media just from that time period anyway, where it's like, yes, I am the villain and I am villainous and that is what I do. And this is my backstory and I am just villainous.
Right.
But then as you kind of get to more modern era, there tends to be more
I would say that Shar Aznable is a little more than the Draco Malfoy of space.
You
haven't heard Shar Aznable's tragic backstory yet, so.
It don't matter. He is and will always be the Draco Malfoy of space. All he needs to do is roll around on the floor, and I'll be set.
So, what did you think about, let's stay on setting for a little bit longer.
Okay, yeah.
What did you think about, like, all the military stuff? It's actually very similar in a lot of ways to the first mm-hmm. episode of 0079, where this thing appears, the regular military goes to fight it, they fail, then they need a new special mecha to do it. At least the broad strokes. There's daddy issues. There are more than superficial similarities here to the first episode of 0079, I think.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was really awesome. There was a lot of like not dream sequence esque kind of moments, but there's a moment where Hisato and Shinji are kind of in this elevator going up to see the mech for the first time, and the background is just like this watercolor magenta with like this kind of very abstract hand. And there are a lot of moments when they first go to the military base where a lot of it is very abstract and kind of dream sequence like. I thought that was really cool because it left a lot to the imagination. And it.
What do you mean by that?
How do I say this? Like, there are moments where you could see the military base and you're like, oh, this is super detailed. But when, like, in all the tunnels, like, okay, that's a tunnel. I know what that is. But then when they get lost, and then they finally get to, like, that main chamber where it opens up, and it's just, like,
this... Oh, the geofront.
Yeah, and it's just this beautiful wash and, like, oranges and yellows and tangerine, and it's really beautiful. I thought that was really... I liked kind of the art... not abstract, but there was
That is, like, a literal representation.
Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. I was very into that. I thought the military design was really cool. I liked all of their gadgets. I thought that was really fun. Was very into how everything was a different color, so you could really pay attention to the detail of everything. I thought that was dope. Some real spicy artwork in there.
Yeah, what do you think about the general visual mood of this show? Evangelion is famous, has a very distinctive mood and style.
Mm-hmm. I would say the mood reminds me... Okay, so if you were, like, walking into an apartment for the first time, and everything's really beautiful, and you're like, oh, this is a nice apartment, but then anytime you round a corner, you hear, like, creepy music, like, da-na-na.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah. I mean, you like the music in this first episode.
I really, oh,
even the, my, fuck unfortunately, yeah. The best song in the first episode, the first song in the show doesn't show up in the first episode, but, You still get the opening theme, which is the classic, and then there's a lot of really good orchestral music that plays in the background here, especially during the conversation between Gendo and Shinji.
Yeah, that was awesome. And actually, so when the theme song started playing, immediately I was like, oh, I know this song.
Yeah.
I've heard this song so many times. And then Ian's roommate walked in, and she, like me, watches a lot of anime, isn't that into mech anime. And she walked in and was like, oh, I also know this song.
Yeah, she hasn't seen Ava either.
Yeah, so I was... Yeah, the theme music was amazing. It's really fun watching kind of these classic shows because now I get to see where like a lot of these references and tropes come from. So I thought that was really awesome. I thought that they have like a really strong aesthetic as a show.
Yeah.
Like after the first episode, I'm like, okay, I know what's coming. I get their vibe. It's very clear, which is also very similar to the first episode of 0079, where it's like, okay, I get this.
It's very easy to picture in your head a scene from those shows.
Absolutely.
Or to know what everything looks like. And Evangelion in particular is fairly distinctive in that regard, I feel like.
Yes.
Okay, so I think that the first episode's creepy, but you disagreed.
I, like, there were moments where I was like, that's unsettling. Like, you're definitely getting vibes where it's like, oh, the government is, may not be the perfect people. Oh my, like, the government may also be evil. Oh no. I mean, the creepiest part of the episode, which is also my favorite part of the episode, was the angel. And just because the monster design was amazing, and you had ended up telling me that the one of the creators on the show was also doing monster design in Nausicaa.
Mm-hmm.
And you can totally see that similarity. The design of the angels is phenomenal. I want it as a tattoo. I love it. I thought it was absolutely outstanding. Super creepy. That was awesome. So I should take that back. There was definitely creepy parts of the episode, but mm-hmm. I like loved every second of it. I was like, hell yeah. Give me the creep.
Yeah. Give me.
Give me them creep. Give me them creepy honeys.
Give me them creepy. Well, how about we talk then a little bit about those two mechs. And let's start with the angel, whose name I'm forgetting. They all have names. They're not even really mentioned in the show.
Wait, is Angel a mech or is Angel a monster?
The angel was the monster.
I loved him. He was beautiful. He was giving me life. He was giving me horror movie from the 80s. He was giving me weird bird mask that they used to wear in during the Black Plague that they'd put the herbs in the nose. I was into it. I loved it.
Yeah. Exposed rib cage, laser sword arms.
I loved it. It was super
shooting
creepy.
Laser beams that turn into crosses.
This, a lot of Christian imagery in the show, which I turned to Ian and I was like, you know, there's a lot of Christian imagery. And he looked at me and just gave me like the smuggest look and was like, oh, you're damn right there is.
It's one of the things that Eva is most famous for is that kind of imagery. It doesn't mean anything.
Oh, that's a, okay. Well,
that's a bit of a pet peeve for me.
Are you saying that Shinji isn't Christ?
If you stretch it. He gets crucified, so...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, mostly.
I don't like that was
You don't
mostly.
Like the mostly?
I don't like the mostly.
And then why don't we talk... We don't even see it in action here, but what do you think about Unit 01?
The design was... So, what was the name of the mech from the other show? I kept
the
calling
Gundam.
It... Yes, okay. Well, the Big Daddy... Fuck you. Okay, so the Big Daddy Gundam... You look at him and you get that vibe. You're like, oh, you're like one of the good guys. Like,
yeah,
you're,
exactly.
He's literally in primary colors. He's in like this really, really toned white. It's very pretty. And you're like, you're one of the good guys. But then you see this mech. You call it, the Unit 1. And
so it's the Ava Unit 01.
Okay, so Ava like walks up and you're like, oh, this is like a Gundam going through his scene phase. Like, the face is very angular, it's in purple, it has some highlights going on with, like, kind of an ombre look. I was like, yeah, this Gundam's having his scene phase, and I support him.
But you do, I like that your first impression is that you're like, I don't know which side the Ava is on. It's a creepy, it's like an aggressive looking...
It's creepy. It definitely, like, the Gundam is, like, you look at the Gundam and you're like, yes, he is a good guy, and I love and support him, and will protect him at all costs. Mm-hmm. And then... The Ava, you're like, I feel like you're more of a chaotic neutral. Maybe a chaotic good. Yeah, you're more of a chaotic good. Like, you get the job done, but you do some questionable shit along the way.
Where do you think this go? Like, how do you see this going?
I know for a fact that the ending is miserable. I know for a fact that the ending is, like, incredibly depressing.
This is something you've heard.
This is something I've heard. I was talking to my friend yesterday. Shout out to Blake, who listens. And we were talking about the shows that you're going to have me watch. And I said, yeah, I think I'm also watching Ava. And Blake looked at me and said, oh, dear sweet child. Oh, no.
Yeah, I was excited to show you Ava because I felt like it would be one you would react fairly strongly to. And they brought up a good point that maybe I should have had you watch the first three episodes because the second episode really goes places. So there's an end of episode preview and you're like, oh, it spoils what happens next. That's a huge misdirection for what actually happens in the second episode. It, like, completely lies to you about what happens.
Yeah, I want to watch... I'm not going to lie, for 0079, it was good, and I really appreciate it for what it is. I feel like I got to know you better as my partner, and I also feel like I'm getting to know the kind of Gundam mech genre as a whole a lot better. Also, side note, when I was in Japan, I went to the Gundam store where you go up these crazy escalators, and then as at the top of the escalator, there's this huge fucking fist that's just, like, coming through the wall.
Yeah.
And there was a... I feel like a lot of what I saw when I was in Osaka is now making a lot of sense. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what that water bottle was based off of. That's cool. But 0079 was also just like, it was kind of dry for me. I was like, yeah, like, it's cool. It's not, I'm not like jonesing for the next episode.
It's like a historical classic in a way.
Yeah, that's what
I
mean.
It doesn't quite hold up in terms of presentation to modern.
No, and it's unfair to compare it to the other ones. It's unfair to compare it to like Eva or anything else, I think. And I haven't even seen the third one. We're about to watch it. But I loved Eva. I thought it was so good. I want to watch the second episode. I kind of want to watch it now, but I know we have to watch the third show.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. The fights were great. His dad sucks. I hate his dad so much. He's a baby.
Yeah, that's a fairly standard takeaway from the first episode, Ava. Just be like, Gendo Ikari is garbage person.
Yeah, also, there was a moment at the beginning where they're watching on this like big screen the fights with the angels as they're trying to defeat it and like blowing it up and it's not working. And there's a reflection that's happening in the shitty dad's eyeglasses. And he doesn't deserve his name. Like his eyeglasses, and I thought, oh, it's a screen, but it's not. It's just like this really good effect where it's kind reflecting. Of reflecting off the screen, so you never actually get to see his eyes except for when he looks at his son for the first time, and you're just like, oh, you're just a piece of shit.
I love he's standing up there and he goes, it's been a long time, it's the Shashiburi Dana, and Shinji's just like, ugh, this guy. Gendo looks real smug when Shinji shows up too.
His face, I know you said this is a family-friendly podcast, and I apologize to listeners for what I'm about to say, but he looks like that kind of creepy guy you meet at a club who's like, me and my wife are looking for a third. Are you interested? So creepy looking. I hate him.
I'm thrilled that you think you may have been the first person to describe Gendo this way, but congratulations.
No, I hate him. Like, he's the kind of guy you see at a club who tries to buy you a drink, and you're like, no, like, it's okay. I can buy my own drinks, and also, like, please leave me alone. And he's like, why? Like, let me buy you. You're not drinking the good tequila. Let me show you the good tequila. You don't know anything.
That's Gendo?
Yes, I hate him.
He hates his son, so.
He hates his son. He's the guy who comes up to you at a club when you're dancing with your friends, who tries to dance next to you, and when he starts dancing a little too close to you, you're like, hey, like, personal space, buddy. And he's like, I'm just trying to dance and have a good time. How dare you assume my motives are creepy? And then you walk away and he's like, no, but please, can I have your number? No, please, wait.
Single dad at the club, Gendo Ikari, is not something I'd ever thought I'd imagine.
That's all he is to me. He's single dad at the club and I hate him.
All right, we've got one more show to watch. This is definitely a huge change of pace.
So I'm so excited.
How you feel about this. So we're gonna watch the first episode of SSSS period Gridman. And we'll be right back.
How many? I'm sorry. SS.
So it's four S's.
It's S for Gridman.
4S Gridman, maybe.
They couldn't come up with a better name.
It's a whole thing. That's
some nonsense.
Okay. I'll explain the history of Gridman while we watch the show.
Let's fucking go.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, we've just watched the first episode of SSS Gridman, and we are back for discussion. Just first impressions, Anna.
Can confirm with Dan, the Gridman ladies are honeys.
What?
Because you remember the
clip?
I
don't know if the ladies are honeys is like the right declension for that. But I'll take your word for it.
I'll rephrase that and say that I really like all the female characters because some of the other female characters in some of the other shows either didn't super exist or like I wanted more from them. But I felt like the female characters in this were like really well rounded, and so they're honeys because they're awesome.
Honeys with character development.
Honeys with character development.
Yeah. What was the vibe you got from this? Because I feel like it's really different from the other two.
I love this. I don't want to say this is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm going to take that back. I think this is my favorite because this is the one that I'm most excited for the second episode for. That sentence didn't make sense grammatically.
Well, makes sense.
Oh,
yeah.
It made sense? Okay, cool. Yeah, the vibe is super cool. All I watch on TV are like murder mystery shows, and this is just like ooh, I'm tingling for this like mystery nonsense. I'm very into it. Mm-hmm. The vibe was really cool. I actually kind of liked that there wasn't like an opening music sequence because it like really drew you in, and it was very like the buildup was very creepy and
it's got stuff. It's got quite the pace, right? Where it's a lot of still shots, slow talk, people talking. I think the show has a really unique sense of dialogue. I always really liked how the dialogue sounds like the lazy, stupid kind of things people actually talk about.
Yeah.
And everyone sounds like kind of tired when they're talking. I always liked that.
Yeah. They also, all the kids sound like kids. Like they sound like teenagers.
It's kind of wild just to see a cell phone. And they're like,
yeah.
After those two, you're like, oh yeah, cell phones exist. And just texting each other like normal humans.
Which is kind of funny because if you think about it, like in the first two shows, they're supposed to be taking place farther in the future. And they're like, but I mean, I guess.
Well, technically, Evangelion takes place in 2015.
So I guess I shouldn't get mad at them for saying like, there were no cell phones, but cell phones hadn't been invented yet. They couldn't have.
So why don't we talk about the characters, because they're a big part of the draw of this first episode.
Indeed.
Let's start with our amnesiac red-haired main character, our boy, Yuta. Yuta.
I'm into him. I thought he was interesting. I like his character arc and that classic, the parents are gone for 3 months.
Yeah, it's like a trope. Classic anime cop-out.
Oh, that made me so mad. Call Child Protective Services. This is a child.
People in high school are always living on their own in anime. I don't get it.
Yeah, that was true in Full Metal Panic, too. Like, she just, like, came home and, like, made dinner. And then the next morning, like, there were no pictures of her family on the walls. Yeah. It was just her living in this very nice apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I had some thoughts.
But he's not much of a character, honestly. He's an amnesiac, so he's just like...
I like his purity. Like, he's just kind of a dope. Like, he's just like...
he is a
well,
dope.
Like, what kind of a man am I? And, like, Utsumi is like, that's a really messy question, man.
I love being like... She's like, why don't you just go home? He's like, yeah, I'll do that. Then they all pause. He goes, I don't know where I live.
Yeah, you'd think the amnesiac bit... would get old, but it doesn't. It's still really funny.
What do you think about, let's jump here to Rika, the girl who finds him.
So there was a girl I actually went to college with named Rika who was also very into anime and did, like, no joke, like, she did cosplay. I don't think you ever met her. And they didn't look that similar, but they both were, like, very pretty, had big eyes, and kind of talked in that, like, quiet, bored voice. And so anytime they say Rika, I'm like, oh, shit, the girl who lived down the hall from me. But I thought she was cool. I liked, kind of going back to what you were saying about the dialogue and how it's a lot more natural. I like that she's just so unbothered with the fact that, oh, yeah, this guy from my class has amnesia. Just go home. You don't need anyone to be with you. Just leave. I was into her, just, like, over everything. I also, side note, I really liked how at the end of the episode, like, Utsumi is like, we're gonna be the Gridman Alliance, and, like, this is cool, we defeated a kaiju! And Rika's like, dude, all of our friends may be dead. Mm-hmm. I need to, like, not be around people for a while. Which, frankly, I can relate to, because if I was in that situation, I would also be like, no one talked to me for 24 hours.
All right, and so then there's Utsumi, who's the guy friend, who I think is really funny because he's got this weird way of going about things.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, like, you like that girl in class too? And he's like, what? No, she's too unapproachable. I don't have feelings for her.
Yeah. He, my lady doth protest too much.
The lady, like, doth protest, yes.
Utsumi's interesting because he's the one who's, like, in the show, at least, he's the guy who's into it, right?
Yeah, you're gonna get mad at me for this reference, but, like, it reminded me of, like, The Last Airbender. He was, like, Sokka.
I love The Last Airbender.
Oh.
What is...
Well, because
this is an anime podcast, young lady.
That's why I was like, I don't know if I should bring up Airbender, but Airbender's, I love Airbender.
It's incredible.
Airbender fucking slaps. And he reminded
me. There we go. Third thing that slaps in a 40-minute period.
Okay, well, it fucking slaps. But it reminded me of Sokka, where everyone is just like, holy shit, there's a Gridman and I don't have my memory. And Rika's like, my friends might be dead. And fucking Utsumi is like, guys, we're a superhero group. This is amazing. Let's go out and make a name and get t-shirts. And everyone's like, Utsumi, shut the fuck up. Wait, that made no sense. Like, sit the fuck down. There we go. Shut the fuck down.
All right. And our last character is Akane, who's...
just classic anime pretty girl.
Is she?
Yeah, she seems it. I like that she was calling hot dogs the dogs.
Special dog.
Special dog.
That's like the name of the food, though.
I also liked that hot dog had a hard-boiled egg on it.
Yeah, well.
I would also like to say that this is the first show that we've watched that had anime food in it, which I appreciate because, as we all know, anime food is awesome. She seems interesting. I want more from her. I want to see what's going on with her. She seems like, especially since she was the first person we saw
yep.
in the whole show. So I think she knows more than she's saying. Bum, bum, bum.
All right. Let's. So this is 19. So this is 2018.
Yeah.
20 years after Eva, which is around itself roughly 20 years after 0079. So we've covered 40 years of anime history here. This is definitely looks really different. This is digital Absolutely. Coloring. Like, you can definitely tell the huge difference in coloring style. It's really bright. It's got sharper edges.
So bright.
Everything is, there's less detail. So in Eva, there was like a lot of detail on everything, especially on people. But in this, it's really, like you said, some people just don't have noses. Like,
yeah, a lot of people just don't have noses, which is, I mean, I don't know. It's just not, maybe that's really common in like that genre of anime. But I feel like even in the anime that I watch, even if someone's like a super major character, even if someone is not a major character, they still have like facial features.
Yeah, this show definitely is like anime styled. It's modern anime style, so it's got the stylized character designs with big eyes, like mm-hmm. weird colors of hair. The other two we watched have fairly realistically drawn humans.
So would you say that this is an anime-ass anime?
I think so. It's definitely one of them. But do you like the modern animation the most, or?
Just putting them all side by side, the brightness is overwhelming, and you also mm-hmm. get to see like a lot of the other shows, there's no dimension, everything is very 2D, and then when you do have dimension, it's still very like cross-hatchy. It reminds me a lot of pencil drawings or ink sketches, but this is the first one where like things have dimension and they have like shape other than flat.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought the style was great. It's modern animation style, so of course I'm seeing similarities with the anime that I watch, like Hinamatsuri or Granblue. Maybe not Granblue.
Granblue actually is fairly close.
You think so?
I think Granblue is a very bright show.
Yeah.
Hinamatsuri is closer to a pastel tone or duller.
Very true. The difference is there's no naked men in this.
Yeah.
So let's think about that.
Here's something. Did you notice? This is the first show of these three you've watched that has significant CG. So did you notice how Gridman is a 3D model?
I did.
Not hand-drawn.
Yeah, that was, I think, that's when I was hitting you during the show.
Yeah.
Like, the movements are so fluid, and the art direction, once again, is stunning, but this is really the first one where you get to see kind of really beautiful artistry kind of paired with modern technology in ways that, like, even though that was in Eva, it was still pretty new, so I really...
There wasn't CG in Eva.
No, that's what I mean. Like, there was... Let me rephrase that. So, like, this is the first one where you really get to see, like, the beauty of, like, human artistry plus, like, kind of
computer
modern.
Model.
Yeah, versus, like, in Eva, there's no CG, but that is when they started doing, like, things digitally.
No.
No?
Yeah, Eva's at the end of pre-digital coloring.
Oh!
That's what I was saying.
Well, that's why Eva sideways.
That's why Eva looks so, I think, spectacular, is because it's at the very peak of that style.
Oh, I misunderstood what you said before. I thought you said that this was like one of the first things that
No. It was right before that became really big. So if you look at anime about 2 or 3 years after Eva, they look like, a lot of them look like hot garbage because they're still figuring out these new tools. Gridman is now a very recent show, is long after digital coloring and CG have become popular. And I think Gridman has some of the best, smoothest, most well-integrated CG of any show. CG, people, it's a thing anime fans make fun of because a lot of the time it stands out.
Yeah, a lot of times
model,
it's like...
And you're just like, oh, clearly that's a computer model.
Yeah.
But in this show, they do a really good job making everything fit together.
Yeah, for sure. I was just really taken with the fluidity of the Gundam. I was like, yeah, this is fucking lit. This is amazing. I was going to say slaps, but I decided not to.
You gotta vary your words.
I gotta vary my words. I need a thesaurus.
A thesaurus. All right, why don't we talk about the mystery, because that's like that's what you were most interested in. So we've got a couple mysterious elements here. Let's start with the first one, which is the mysterious man with black hair and a pale face and swords. Yes. Who just keeps staring at him.
Who's basically Slender Man with a sword.
Yeah. With like four swords.
With like four swords. Oh,
Legend of
God.
Zelda, Four Swords Adventure.
Oh, God. Yeah, I loved it. You can really tell he's going to be a creepy person, because if anyone has a back hunch that severe, you can tell that they've got some shit going on.
So he strikes you as a villain?
Well, when you say it like that, I guess he's not. But he's like, he's either a villain or he's like, he tries really hard and he's technically on the good side, but he like doesn't know what to... So you know how before I was saying that that shitty dad from Ava was like that creepy guy at the bar who mm-hmm. was like, we're looking for a third. I feel like this creepy guy from Gridman is that guy who's like sitting quietly at the bar, hears what's happening, and then like just stares at the shitty dad so long that he just like gets freaked out and leaves you. And this guy down the bar doesn't say anything, but he just, like, nods and walks away. He also reminds me a little bit of a character from Love is War, the treasurer of the...
Ishigami.
Yeah, he reminds me of Ishigami a little
bit.
Yeah,
there is this visual similarity there.
Yeah, a little bit of a goth boy trope.
Next, we have whoever it is that's making, it seems, the kaiju.
I was super into that, because there's... You see him, I think, 3 times in the first episode. Yeah, about that.
Give or take.
In the first one, you see him building a wire model, and I was like, oh my god, I think he's building the kaiju. And then in the second one, you see that he's added more finishing touches, and now he's got, like, a body, and he's built out, and I was like, oh, fuck, I was right, he is building the kaiju. And then you see the kaiju, and there's a part where you see, like, the pieces of clay or paper mache falling off the neck.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that. I am so fascinated. I think that's one of the main reasons why this is my favorite anime that we've done, just because... I am a sucker for a mystery, and I want to know who's building these monsters. I want to know what's going on with his parents. I want to know why he doesn't have a memory. And I also want to know why none of the parents seem to give a shit about their kids in any of these anime.
Rika's mom is pretty worried about her.
That's fair.
And Rika's mom comes back and is like, you have to answer your phone.
Yeah,
like,
can relate. Rika's mom is the MVP of all three.
Do you have any idea about the relationship between whoever it is on the TV screen with the person who's making the kaiju?
What do you mean?
So there's the like weird black and red design person.
Oh, that guy.
He says instance ab reaction to like once the model is done. So do you have any thoughts on that, or are you just like confused?
I'm a little confused. At first I thought that he was the guy making the models, and then I was like, I don't know, maybe he's like the dark overlord who's like commanding everything. I don't know.
Rita Repulsa.
Rita Repulsa. I don't, but one of my favorite video creators cosplays as Rita Repulsa in drag, and it's pretty spectacular.
Okay.
So that's the only reason I know Rita Repulsa. But it reminds me a little bit of, once again, Sailor Moon. But
Queen Beryl,
who's just like, anytime you see her in like the first series, she's just working that crystal ball.
I need this energy.
I need the energy. But like, she's just working this crystal ball in like a very intense way.
Yeah. And lastly, the mystery of like who or what is Gridman?
It's like
Gridman. So Gridman actually is an early 1990s tokusatsu, which refers to a style of live-action television show popular in Japan, like Power Rangers, or Ultraman, or Kamen Rider.
Or People, Cutie Honey.
Or the Cutie Honey movie we watched, which was Tokusatsu. Mm-hmm. The Hideaki Anno, who directed Evangelion, directed that movie.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a connection
for
man.
You. Oh man, have y'all seen Cutie Honey? Y'all should watch Cutie Honey.
We watched halfway because it was too hard.
It was too painful to watch, but
we're not the target audience. So Gridman is an early 1990s tokusatsu show, live action, like men in rubber suits, kaiju in rubber suits.
Ugh.
That's what Godzilla is.
No, I know. And I love me some kaiju movies, and I think that's one of the reasons why this was also my favorite
this
one.
This is very clearly a
I
kaiju
fucking
film,
love kaiju. I love Godzilla. I love them all. I think that's awesome. King Caesar all the way.
So
we are dog lion.
But so Gridman, we don't really know anything about them, but
right.
But I think that's part of the lore of the show, is like Gridman just shows up on the TV screen. Junku.
Yeah, and he's like, you need to complete your mission. He's like, well, I don't know what mission. I have no memory, monster. He's like, no, we must merge. It had like a little bit of like Albus Dumbledore vibes, where he's like, I'll give you like the bare minimum, but in reality, I could probably finish this entire series in like I don't know, 90-minute discussion, maybe a 20-minute discussion, so this way no one has to die, no one has to get hurt, and we can just, like, I don't know, finish this nonsense once and for all. But instead, I'm going to drag it out over 7 books and
eight
be kind
movies.
Of and be kind of a dick about it.
So I think something fun to note about the show is that I haven't seen the original show, but I've seen when I was doing this for the podcast, we looked up a lot about it, and all the kaiju in this are versions of kaiju from the show, are like new models. The computer that they have, Junk, is supposedly, that's in the TV show, that's their state-of-the-art computer they use to connect to
Gridman. Oh, seriously? I
love
that.
So they keep
that.
It exactly the same, and they're like, wow, old computers are scary.
They do that a lot in, I'm trying to show off how nerdy I am.
Go for it.
They do that a lot in Doctor Who as well, because, like, every time he regenerates, sometimes they'll go back to, do you watch Doctor Who?
Yes, I've seen, I used to.
Okay, yeah.
But I know what you mean. They make jokes about, like, old versions or old technology or whatever.
Yeah, like, the new people will make, like, his new companions will be like, oh man, like, that's really ugly, or like, wow, like, this is really outdated. And whoever the doctor is at the time, I haven't watched in ages, I have to say, will be like, what, no, this is state of the art. And they're like, not really, let me show you my new computer that can fold into a tiny box that I put in my pocket, you dumbass. And he's like, all right, well,
let's talk about mechs.
Let's talk
we
about
just got
mechs.
Two. We'll talk about the kaiju and we'll talk about Gridman. What did you think of the dragon design, like the big long neck dude that they fight?
What did I think? I didn't like that it never closed its eyes, but I also think that that kind of made it look like a puppet, which, yeah, I thought that was cool. Once again, I'm loving the bright colors. American animation is really into dark colors, and I think that they need to get with the times.
Like what, bright blue and pink dragon?
Yes, give me pink Gundam. I want them. And purple and green. I want, like, the rainbow bright
We
didn't
watch a lot of colorful mechs. We saw the classic Gundam, and then we saw the Eva Unit 01 is deep purple. Like,
yeah, I thought the Gundam design was beautiful, but I thought one of the things I noticed was, because it was CG, a lot of the camera focus was just on how amazing the movements were, versus, like, even stuff, like, with Gundam.
Eva and Gundam, it's a lot of posing.
It's a lot of posing, so you get to appreciate the design. But in this one, because they can do so much more with the animation, there's no really...
It's like running and sliding and jumping and kicking.
And sometimes you're like, can I just have like a
beauty shot?
I just want like a beauty shot. Give me like a Sailor Moon transformation sequence. I want to appreciate...
You do get those later on in this show.
I'm
that's
so
a Tokusatsu
excited.
Staple that's similar to Magical Girl. It's like
oh,
the people
God,
transforming
so
into their big forms.
Give me all of them.
And then, so you like Gridman's... And Gridman changes a number of times throughout the series. So this is... Actually, I was surprised when we watched this because I forgot that Gridman is like mostly blue.
Yeah.
Because later on, Gridman is mostly red.
I'm into it. It also just makes me, when I was watching this, I was making just mental notes, because this is also the only show where I wasn't taking handwritten notes, because I was so interested in the plot.
Yeah.
Which I think says a lot. But one of the things that I was thinking about throughout all three episodes, but specifically this one in Eva, was all of the incredible animators who are working their asses off day in, day out, and just trying so hard to make these incredible pieces of art. You know, for the public. And so, you know, none of them listen to this, or maybe they do. I hope they do.
No one listens to this. Don't worry. Don't you worry about anyone hearing this.
But, I don't know. Just appreciate your local animators. They work so hard, and a lot of them don't get paid very well. And I really...
Our local Japanese animators.
Our local Japanese, but not just Japanese animators, but there's a lot of strikes happening in, you know, the States... animation circuits as well, that people just aren't getting paid well. And there are a lot of stories of like in Miyazaki movies, people just like slept in the studio, like they just
That's
never
common,
yeah they just never left, and they just work so hard and create these incredible pieces of art. So that was one of the big things. I have a lot of friends who are artists and animators, and I do comics, and I that's one of the reasons why I was kind of sad we never got to kind of witness the beauty of the Gridman design, because it was so intricate and so beautiful, and there was so much depth to all the colors, and that's so hard to do. It was great.
Overall, you're most interested in watching more Gridman, you think?
I would watch a second episode right now.
And then you're also interested, though, in Eva.
I am also interested in Eva, not as much. I think just because the plot line is really interesting, but...
Is it too much? Like, a little too dark?
No, it's not that it's too dark. I think it's just, like, I think that Gridman did a really good job of making you want more.
Mm-hmm.
And Eva, like, you do, but not to the same extent. Like,
but Eva
only...
does drop on a cliffhanger. There's about to be a fight when Eva, the episode
yes,
ends.
Yes, but that's the only thing that's really pulling me to the second. Like, the only questions I'm really asking is, yo, I want to see this fight go down, because it's going to be lit. And then also, notice how I didn't say slaps, but also, you know, like, I want to find out more about this family dynamic and, like, why his dad left and also, like, why he was summoned. Like, why is he the only one who can pilot this thing? Mm-hmm. Versus with Gridman, I have so many questions and it makes me want to, like, I just want to keep watching. But again, I think that's also just, like, you can tell that these shows are basically 50 years on a timeline. Mm-hmm. So I really liked all three. I really appreciate them for what they are. I really appreciate, I think, the Gundam genre now, which I didn't
the
really...
The mecha genre?
I can say the Gundam genre.
You can.
Will I sound like an idiot?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I've already... I'm going to sound like an idiot on this podcast anyway, so... I don't know.
So just commit to it.
I'm just going to commit to it. Yeah. Look, guys, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what's happening.
Well, on that note, if you want to reach out to us and maybe recommend good starter mecha, I don't know, more for Anna to watch or anything like that, you can reach us at mechadoaboutnothing@gmail.com. That's the name of the podcast at gmail.com. Our website is mechadoo.moe, and our Twitter account is @mechadoopodcast. Thank you, Anna.
You're welcome. And hey, like, if you guys also want to listen to us talk about, I don't know, like, Ao-chan can't study, or want to hear me talk more about Sailor Moon, you can also,
You don't have a podcast.
I don't have a podcast. I have nothing to plug, but request me. Don't do that.
That's gross. Until next week, will you be able to survive?